Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. Ask the experts about free fitting on all our kitchens. cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Now, Denmark is on high alert this morning after a further drone incident last night that caused chaos for a number of airports for a second night this week. The Danish Minister for Defence, Troels Lund Poulsen, classed the drones as a hybrid attack and the work of a professional actor in a press conference this morning. Well, earlier this week, Copenhagen Airport was forced to close due to a drone incursion, with the Prime Minister, Mette Frederiksen, saying that Russian involvement could not be ruled out. Let's get more on this. I'm joined first by Michael Barrett, who's editor of The Local Denmark. Good morning to you, Michael.
Morning, Claire.
So we had that press conference this morning where some more details emerged about what happened last night. Tell us what was said. I mean, as I explained there, we've been told that this is a hybrid operation by a professional actor. So clearly it's been taken very seriously.
It is, yeah, as you say, the Defence Minister, Troels Lund Poulsen, has characterised these incidents as a hybrid attack and described them as systematic. And you said that there can be no doubt that this points to it being the work of a professional actor because it was so systematic in nature. And that's because it happened at many locations at virtually the same time, a number of airports as well as a military base. So he said he would define this as a hybrid attack using different types of drones, although he did also stress that at the moment the authorities have no knowledge of the source of these attacks, and they're still working to investigate this.
Mm-hmm. Just talk us through what exactly happened. Several airports were affected, is that right?
That's right. It affected four airports in Jutland. That's the mainland part of Denmark that's connected to Germany. And differentiate from the incident earlier this week, which was at Copenhagen Airport. So there were drones spotted at over three airports and unconfirmed sightings at a fourth airport. Two of those airports, Aalborg and Billund, which are quite major airports, were both shut down for a number of hours, although travel disruption was more limited than it was with the incident in Copenhagen, because this happened overnight when there weren't any flights or weren't very many flights incoming to these airports. In addition to this, there were also drones spotted over an airbase in the southern part of Denmark, which also led to the airspace being closed there.
But the drones, they weren't shot down. So what happened with them?
They flew away. They hovered over the airports, or not necessarily over the airports, but in the airspace that's designated to these airports. They were hovering there and then they flew away again. And officials were questioned as to why they weren't shot down, with the military chief, the head of the Danish military, saying that they made an overall assessment, decided not to shoot them down, primarily due to concerns over public safety, specifically related to where these parts from these drones would fall if they were shot down.
OK, so now the Danish government is going to raise this with NATO and with the EU. And going to NATO with this is significant, although they haven't said they're going to trigger Article 4, which would raise security concerns and possibly lead to Article 5. And we saw this happening in Poland recently when they had an incursion into their airspace. So explain to us what was said about the next steps.
Yeah, that's right. They haven't yet triggered Article 4, although Poulsen said that the government is going to discuss this possibility today and make a decision on whether to do that. As you say, that would call for urgent consultations with other NATO member states. The government officials also stressed that, that there's no raised military threat against Denmark at the moment as a result of these drone flights. However, they have moved national operational staff from level one to level two. Now, that means that infrastructure and internal authorities will be on duty around the clock rather than on normal working hours, and they're going to be working more closely with multiple authorities so that they can respond more quickly to further drone incidents. In addition to this, they're going to they're going to make some more long-term steps, the government says, including acquiring more capability to detect and shoot down drones.
Okay, Michael, thank you very much for bringing us the latest from Denmark. Michael Barrett there. Steve Wright is an avionics and unmanned aerial systems expert and also a senior research fellow at UWE in Bristol. Steve, good morning to you. I know you've had a look at some of the videos of these drones. What do you make of it?
Indeed. Yes, well, the first thing is that the overflights of the airports, the smaller airports that happened last night, the footage is quite vague, and it would be very hard to draw too many conclusions from that. But the footage from the overflights of the Copenhagen incident earlier in the week gives a bit more away about what's going on, and it's a fairly safe assumption that they're related vehicles as well. Not so much whether you can see them, but the way they move, that actually gives away quite a lot about what kind of vehicle they are. So going back to the Copenhagen overflights, they're winged vehicles, so not the sort of quadcopters that we're used to hearing about on the Ukrainian battlefields, more akin to the sort of these large winged vehicles that have attacked Moscow and similarly from Russia into Ukraine. So it was what we call a high aspect ratio wing. So to put that simply, it's a long, thin wing that allows an aircraft to fly quite slowly but very efficiently. So the reason that's important to us is it could have come a long, long way, tens or even hundreds of kilometres. So that makes the tracing of where these things have come from much more difficult. Mm-hmm. But we can clearly see that they're sort of quite long range vehicles and relatively large as well. I mean, clearly also that they've got these flashing lights, the things lit up like a Christmas tree, both for all these incidents. So we can put away concerns about, you know, overt hostility. I would have said that in 9 times out of 10 in the normal conditions, you can usually expect incidents like this due to be one of accidental incompetence, shall we say, by some operator. But the fact that things are repeating so clearly and so targeted, clearly somebody's having a go here and creating provocation.
So you agree then with what the Danish Minister of Defence has said this morning, that this is the work of a professional actor?
It would, shall we say, a professional or certainly expert. The amount of technology that's out there and also the amount of experience and expertise that's out there in the public domain, it's quite extraordinary, really. But yes, it would require certainly quite a major level of organisation. The technology itself isn't particularly complicated. That can be bought off the shelf, off the internet. In many ways, and this is what we see, what distinguishes all the operations going on in Ukraine and Russia, is the sort of logistical feat of being able to launch these vehicles simultaneously and guide them in over these targets in a relatively tight, you know, organized time frame like mm-hmm. that. That's what really gives it away as a much more professional operation, yes.
Well, Steve, we were talking earlier in the week about the difficulty in targeting these, in shooting them down if you feel that you need to. And this really, I suppose, raises the importance level of that question and the European meeting that's being held tomorrow about the drone wall. I mean, here's why we need it, right?
Yes, I mean, in fact, one possible explanation for this, for what we're seeing in Denmark, is somebody from inside the West, you know, deliberately provoking in order to say, look, you know, can you not see how porous our defences are? And this is being used as a wake-up call by somebody out there. Because there is no doubt that, as I mentioned earlier in the week, you know, our existing airborne defences along that border are essentially Cold War weapons. So they're very blunt instruments and very, very expensive, and they're designed to fight, you know, of the order of dozens to hundreds of very sophisticated vehicles. So where suddenly we're faced with the situation of hundreds or even thousands in the near future of relatively unsophisticated but very cheap and very numerous and probably low flying, that sort of thing, our existing defences just aren't equipped for that. Mm-hmm. They're not designed around that capability.
So these things can get past the radar systems that are currently in place?
Generally, yes, because although they're not stealth per se, but they, as you can see, whenever you see a whenever you see a drone buzzing past, it's small, it's slow. And ironically, one of the things that gives away, say, a jet fighter, is radar has special algorithms inside it to look for fast-moving objects. It's one of the ways we distinguish manned aircraft from, you know, what we call the background clutter. So drones, though, they're so small and so slow, they putter along, hidden in that very clutter that our modern systems try and differentiate against. So it's a very difficult problem.
Steve, you said that you feel these came from quite possibly a long way away. Is there a way to prove where a drone has been launched from?
If you can get your hands on the very drone itself, potentially yes. And in fact, this is something I've been involved in, where we've been looking into doing essentially forensics, because just to give a bit of technical background, as you can imagine, there's a computer inside one of these things, and it's generally been launched with a pre-programmed pattern. So that makes it quite difficult to find out where it's come from, because that pattern, it could be flying all sorts of dog legs and loops to hide its original point of launch. Mm-hmm. If you can get your hands on the drone itself, and we see all this footage of drones in fields, don't we, in Ukraine and whatnot, it is potentially possible to extract the mission that's been loaded into that, the very software itself, and decode that if mistakes have been made. And we know, for example, this has happened in Ukraine, where there was a shocking incident a while ago, where a drone had been used for some training and was then picked up by the Russians, and it gave away the very training area that the Ukrainians had been working in, and of course a strike was sent in. So this is an example of how you know, it is easy to let these things slip through the net, and how much data is stored on these aircraft. I mean, the computers on them, you know, they're as sophisticated as a high-end computer from 30 years ago.
But your understanding is, as Michael's explaining to us, that these things in Denmark last night buzzed in and buzzed out again, so we don't have one to examine.
Indeed. Okay. So it's very, very hard to know what's going on. All we can do is, if there is look at the footage, and I hope there'll be better radar tracking as well, because there's quite a few clues can be given away by the very movement of the vehicle itself, how it works, how it flies in the sky. That tells us sort of the technology that's up there. And it's possible to make some inferences from that. But without the vehicle itself, frankly, no, we are very much in the dark.
Well, Steve, it's great to benefit from your expertise again. Steve Wright, who's an avionics and unmanned aerial systems expert there. Thank you for joining us. I want to bring in General Ben Hodges now, who's a retired US Army Lieutenant General and Commander of US Forces in Europe. Ben, hello again. Good to have you back with us.
Thank you, Claire.
So, as the Danes have said this morning, there's no evidence at this point of Russian links, but it's not the first time that there have been drone sightings like this. Suspicious drones have been sighted previously over Germany and Sweden. We had the incursion into Polish airspace as well. All suspected, but not proven to be part of this, what we call grey zone activity by Russia. What do you think is going on?
Well, of course, you're almost never going to have an incident where you've got a drone or one of these shadow fleet vessels flying a big giant Russian flag saying, look at us. The Russians have exploited our gullibility, and they do things that avoid immediate attribution. And so we have to, but yet everybody knows it's the Russians. And so we have to change our approach. And look, I appreciated both of your previous guests. I mean, I was listening and learning to the technical things that they were bringing, but, you know, the Ukrainians have been using radar to identify drones for years. So the fact that we still, after years of watching the Ukrainians, we still have not put in place the necessary indicators and warning devices and defenses to protect things like like our airports and our seaports is shameful. Mm-hmm. So we've got to get serious about this.
Well, I mean, the Ukrainians have been saying that for years, haven't they, since the Russian invasion began, that you're going to be next. So we've had plenty of warning on that score. But it seems tomorrow is the day when that conversation will start at EU level, when the drone wall discussions happen and Ukraine will be invited in as experts in that conversation. I mean, that has completely reached a new level of importance now, hasn't it?
Well, The level of attention by our leaders is maybe reached that level, but the importance has always been there. And that's the part that's maddening, is that, I mean, I've listened to so many people talk about, oh, drones is changing the character of war. Everybody have drones. We have to do it. And here we are, exactly as Steve just said, with, you know, Cold War level technology protecting some of our most important infrastructure. So this is about look, people in the West have got to acknowledge that even though we're not at war with Russia, Russia is absolutely at war with us. And until we start treating this seriously, instead of everything being like this is a Supreme Court case, you know, they are going to keep doing this.
If this is Russia who's behind what happened overnight and in recent weeks in other areas, what is the message that's being sent?
Well, number one, these are tests. They're looking to see what is our response time, where are the gaps in our coverage, what are they able to do. So there is a reconnaissance aspect to this in case of whatever they might be planning in the future. Number two, of course, it is to create unease and to scare people so that people would put pressure on the government. Oh, please don't do anything to Russia because we don't want to have a World War III. And then, of course, to create division between all of us. So that's what's going on here. I think that we need to, instead of the Danish chief of defense saying, oh, we didn't want to shoot one down because of safety concern, we need to have systems to grab one of these things, whether it's using non-kinetic means or something, to get it on the ground and then do the forensics on it, exactly like Steve just said, and figure out, you know, where'd the parts come from? And I guarantee you we'll find out that some of the parts came from Switzerland or even the United States. But, you know, the Polish Air Force was able to identify that all 21 of the drones that were launched in a drone operation by Russia against Poland 2 weeks ago, they were able to look at the flight path and go back to where they originated. Mm-hmm. So it is not impossible to do that if we've configured our systems for that.
But if you start shooting down drones over European airspace, I mean, that is likely to cause panic. If it is the Russians behind this, that's exactly what they want.
Well, it shouldn't cause panic if we are communicating with our populations and our populations understand what we are doing. And of course, it doesn't have to be kinetic. I mean, if we have our warning system set up so that you see it approaching, you do what Ukrainians do. You go out there. I've seen video of Ukrainian helicopters knocking down drones with machine gun. I mean, it doesn't have to be a Sidewinder missile coming off of an F-16 to shoot down one of these cheap drones.
Ben, we'll leave it there for now, but thank you very much for joining us once again on the programme. That's General Ben Hodges. And I see a news line coming from Ukraine where President Zelensky has said he's ready to leave office after the war ends. And you'll remember that there have been criticisms in the past from some quarters that there haven't been elections in Ukraine when they were due. Of course, the country's in a state of emergency because of the Russian invasion. And that was always the defence of Vladimir Zelensky when he was faced with those challenges. But now he is saying, I believe for the first time, that he was ready to leave office if and when the war ends. We'll take a break, back with more after this.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.